This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
NBA season is over. The Golden State Warriors are the champs. And now we are into the about a three-week period where it gets a little crazy. This is, for me, this part of the season is almost as, this part of the calendar is almost as much fun as actual basketball being played on the court. Free agency coming up soon. Trades being discussed. The draft is this week. To talk about that and a whole lot more, I'm joined right now by the founder of HoopsCritic.com. He's at HoopsCritic on Twitter. He's also on Sirius XM as well. Brian Geltzeiler joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Geltz, happy Father's Day, buddy. How are you?
Thank you, Shawnee. I'm very good, and happy Father's Day to you as well, pal.
I'm doing great. Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate that, Geltz. So we've had a lot of calls from Cleveland tonight, Geltz. The Paul George story that Woj broke, that George has informed the Pacers that he's going to leave after his contract is over, and already being speculated that the phone lines are beginning to burn up between Cleveland and Indiana. I want you to speak to the possibility of George specifically, but also in general. What moves are available in addition to that, possibly for the Cavaliers to try and somehow get onto this, you know, near the strata of the team that beat them earlier this week?
Well, the first choice is certainly going to be Paul George, Shawnee, just because when you look at what you need to match up better with the Warriors, it's length on the perimeter. And very few do that as well as Paul George. And from a broad perspective, when you look at the net result of the finals for the Cavaliers, the half-court punishment, per se, or lesson that was heaped upon them was the fact that you can get away with hiding one defensive liability in these types of playoff situations, but you can't get away with two. You see the Warriors, they get away with hiding Curry. And you saw the Warriors expose the Cavs on many occasions in every game of exposing Irving and Love. So ultimately, both of those guys who are one-way guys, and all due respect to Kevin Love, who did a very good job defensively in the playoffs, still against a team as good as the Warriors, was exposed for that and certainly could go to another location and be an asset defensively because he's come a long way. With all that said, they need an upgrade on the defensive end of the floor and need an upgrade with star power. And there's probably going to be no better fit for them available right now than Paul George. Now, the broader question in all this, Shawnee, is that does Indiana want Kevin Love, and is that enough for Paul George? Because let's face it, the Cavs don't have much more to give than that. If the Pacers are moving on from Paul George, it's to do a rebuild. And that means it's going to be an asset draft pick type of package that they're going to look to command for Paul George, which would certainly beg the involvement of a third team who would have an interest in ponying up that kind of package for Kevin Love. That is not preposterous. Kevin Love has got 3 years left on the deal at around $20 million a year. It's a very reasonable contract in today's market, and I don't think he's ever been more valuable than he is now because he's become a much more well-rounded player. His numbers were great in Minnesota, but he was horrific defensively. He's not great defensively, but he's not horrific anymore, and he certainly can be mediocre to average at certain points in time and be a guy that doesn't hurt you on that end, and that's not a bad thing. Listen, he got exposed in the finals. It's Golden State. Who doesn't? But nonetheless, I do think the Cavs are a very viable team in these George sweepstakes. There's no doubt.
Geltz, are there any other teams that are one reasonable move away from competing with the Golden State Warriors, aside from the Cleveland Cavaliers?
No, but there's a couple of teams that are two reasonable moves away. Okay. I think that if the Spurs are able to make a major upgrade at point guard, which isn't a stretch based upon the level of talent available coming into this offseason at that position. Obviously, Chris Paul is the name we know. Kyle Lowry's out there too. But even names like Drew Holiday and George Hill and potentially Eric Bledsoe is going to be in the trade market, depending on what happens on Thursday with Phoenix's draft pick. So all of those things, you know, the Spurs certainly, if they could do a major upgrade at the point guard position and then figure out a solution – for a defensive-minded type of five, a Tyson Chandler type that could come in and be a better fit with Aldridge than Pau Gasol was. I think their half-court style and having the star power of Leonard and the shooting of Green, I think that type of unit with Popovich's influence could certainly give San Antonio a push, could give Golden State a push. And that's not a stretch that those types of things can get done for the Spurs, because that's pretty realistic. The other team I look at is Boston. Boston just made a trade that I'm sure you're going to ask me about in a little while, but it put them in a better position to be able to go after a player in a trade using a heavily laden pick package, and they certainly have the financial flexibility to be able to do that. And if they can, you know, keep their existing core in place and add two studs, which, you know, forgetting about the draft picks for a minute, but with their set of assets in terms of going out for a trade, if they can add two star-level studs right now, make no mistake, they're going after it. They want Hayward. They want Griffin. They'll be in on the George sweepstakes here. They're not done trying to pry Jimmy Butler out of Chicago. So the Celtics, to me, with everything they have, they could do more than one blockbuster here for major players, and I think that could put them on the map of the Warriors. Listen, the bar's been raised here, Shawnee. Kevin Durant going to the Warriors, taking the bar and put it to a new level. But don't think teams are going to just pack their bags and go home and hand this thing to the Warriors for the next 3 to 4 years. It's not going to work like that. Teams will make major, major moves to try to see if they can challenge the Warriors now. Anybody that's close is going to go after it.
Brian Geltzeiler, HoopsCritic.com, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Geltz, I want to ask you about Markelle Fultz specifically in just a second, but I'll be honest with you, as someone who kind of grew up rooting for the Sixers and living in New England, I remember a time when the Celtics and Sixers would never have completed a deal where they were helping each other out by flip-flopping the third and the first picks in the draft. And I'll be honest with you, like, that was my takeaway when I heard this trade. Is like, God, it feels weird for the Sixers and the Celtics, two teams that are in the same division making a deal that, I guess both feel good. Both are coming away from the deal with what they want. But what are your initial thoughts just on the mechanics of the deal? And then we'll get into Fultz in just a second.
Okay, well, let's start with this. The reason this trade gets done between these two teams is because these two general managers found themselves in the same boat. They both were sitting on significant assets that over time have a shelf life, and they were depreciating the value of those assets. So for those two in this spot, there was something that each of them needed to do for Danny Ainge to set up move towards the next move. Okay, but for Brian Colangelo, it was the fact that he had, you know, think about what happened here. He's held Okafor until he's got no value. He didn't get very much for Nerlens Noel, and I like Justin Anderson, but if he had traded Noel earlier, he should have gotten a lot more for him. They've watched some assets go to pot here. And then when you look at Boston in a similar situation, you know, if they sign a big free agent, they're going to have to renounce Olynyk and get nothing for him. Okay, yeah. Marcus Smart is early extension eligible this fall. And with them having to pay Thomas and having to pay Bradley and paying Horford a gazillion dollars and going to try to get a free agent, Marcus Smart's not getting paid there. So you look at where Danny is, and he put himself in that spot where he had depreciating assets and had to get something done. With all that said, I love this trade for both sides. I think, you know, you look at Fultz, Ball, and Jackson as players, and from everything I hear, listen, I happen to like Jackson the best of the three. With everything I hear and people I talk to, they're all grading out on a pretty similar level. It's pretty close between them. So Danny Ainge looks at this and says, I may end up trading this pick anyway. There's three guys here that are all at a similar level, and I can pick up an extra asset that's going to help me huge in trading for a star that's highly valued out there and get a same-level player. That works for him, and that's a great job. On the other hand, you look at the Sixers, and Brian Colangelo inherited a situation where it was an asset accumulation focus, not roster building. And they, I've been very critical of Sam Hinkie, and one of the main reasons is I don't think he shifted his focus from asset accumulation to roster building soon enough and squandered assets because of it. But this is a roster building move. You know what? Yes, these three players all grayed out close, but with the other guys that you have already, Fultz is clearly the best fit, like head and shoulders above everybody as the best fit because of the fact that he's a combo guy. He can play both guard positions. He's got some wing size, and he can handle it as a lead guard for point, but he'll fit okay next to Simmons. All of it really fell into place nicely for the Sixers. And in the end, did they get full value for that Laker pick? Could be the Sacramento pick. There's no way they got full value for it, but they got enough value for them that it fits their roster and is a big upgrade on that team in terms of how he fits with everybody else. So I think both sides did a tremendous job.
Yeah, and Geltz, I want to ask you specific about Fultz. I mean, obviously there's a lot of things he does really, really well, or else he wouldn't be the first pick in the draft. Is there any concern? This may sound very rudimentary and basic. Is there any concern that he was the lead player on a team that won only 9 games last year at the college basketball level?
Well, I don't think anybody's looking at University of Washington's win-loss record from last year and laying that at Fultz's feet as any kind of indication of the NBA player is going to be. But okay. I will tell you one thing, and it may have been spillover from that situation that is certainly of concern, is that is Markel Fultz's weak motor. He is not a guy that is considered an energizer bunny out there. He has moments where he's flat-out lazy player. And you could say the situation affected him and make an excuse for that. But, you know, some general managers don't like to make an excuse for that. They feel like either you have a good motor or you don't have a good motor. So you look at this situation, and I know Danny Ainge likes, you know, both Josh Jackson and Jason Tatum better than Markel Fultz. And the motor is the reason. So, listen, we know all the things he can do, and he is a dynamic offensive player. The motor thing can be a problem on defense. It can be a problem with disappearing in big spots. You don't want him to be a bad body language guy and get down on himself. You know, these types of things tend to affect a player. You know, is it coming from within or is it coming from the outside? That's a question that's hard to answer. You understand? And so, listen, this Danny Ainge thinks he doesn't want to have to answer it. So he moved on, and that's the big concern with Fultz. Is the motor there? All the talent, all the skill, all the ability, all the measurables, everything is there. Is that motor there?
Geltz, this is the last time you and I will talk before the draft. We've got like 30 seconds, but this is a quick one. Does Lonzo Ball still go to the Lakers at 2, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think so. Keep one thing in mind. Magic told us when he took this job, we're bringing Showtime back. Explain to me at number 2 if there's another guy out there that epitomizes what he's trying to bring back to the Lakers with Showtime and Lonzo Ball. You combine that with the fact that he's been there for a couple months and Luke Walton's been there for a year, and they've both had enough of D'Angelo Russell. And D'Angelo Russell is a guy that's going to have more value now than he will if you hold him and have Lonzo Ball on board. So I think D'Angelo Russell could go before Thursday, and I do think Lonzo Ball is going to be the Lakers pick.
Brian Geltzeiler, HoopsCritic.com, at HoopsCritic on Twitter, SiriusXM. As well. Geltz, great stuff. Appreciate you jumping on, and looking forward to breaking down what ended up going on in the NBA draft next time you and I talk. Again, happy Father's Day to you, buddy. Thanks a lot.
Happy Father's Day to you, my brother. And we'll touch base this week, and I look forward to joining you again next Sunday.
Same here, buddy. Take care. Appreciate it. Brian Geltzeiler joining me on the program. He's the best when it comes to breaking down that stuff. Don't get no better than that.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.